Okay, so I assume because of the Daf Yomi, I've been getting some shailas about Ribis and about Heter Iska, and since it's on our collective minds, I guess because of the Daf Yomi, I thought this would be an appropriate time to talk about the understanding what's going on with the Heter Iska, because really, as anything in Dinei Mamonis, it's much more effective if the two parties involved understand why it works, how it works, and what's going on. So once you're ready, once so many of us have just seen the Gemaras, I think it's worthwhile. Obviously, if you haven't, the Shiur will be just as relevant, but that's why, even though it's not relevant to the Parsha, I decided to discuss it before it's too far out of our memory. Okay, we'll see. I don't have a full hour. He has a full hour. So another reason why I decided to pick this topic is because recently I don't know if this was had gone viral or a few people just decided to send it to me in particular, but even though I don't know if it was written as a joke or it was honest cynicism, but often you hear a certain sense of cynicism being expressed whenever we have this type of thing, either Mechiras Chametz or something which we are constantly, on a regular basis, trying to avoid halacha. So often a person could express a certain cynicism that when it's convenient for us, we figure out a way to avoid the halacha. So one of my main goals over here is to prove, first of all, that if you understand what's going on, there's no avoidance of halacha. It's 100% legitimate, which is different than other areas of halacha where we can't find legitimate ways, even if there is a tremendous need. And that not only is it based on a legitimate thing, but if you understand where the Isurim are coming from, it makes sense that Chazal in this situation instituted a way, or the Poskim instituted a way for us to be able to navigate the Isurim properly. And what I mean by that is as follows. The Isser of Ribis is a very severe Isser. You take a look at the beginning, the first Mar Makom I gave you, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows. Tzarech lizar b'ribis. The person has to be careful with ribis. V'kama lavin nemribo. And there are many different lavin when it comes to ribis. V'afilu halove, even the person who is borrowing, hanosna v'ha arev, and the person who's guaranteeing on the loan. V'ha'edim, and the witnesses didn't do anything. They're also over on Isurim when it comes to the Isiv Ribis. Everyone involved has transgressed the law when it comes to Ribis, as the last Mishnah in the Parak explains. V'ein chilek bein malve la'ani al-asher. There's no difference whether you're lending a poor person or a wealthy person. V'ha'd de'lo've over tafka b'ribis d'raisa. This that we say that the borrower is also over, that specifically on a type of ribis which is d'raisa, av ribis d'rabanan eino over el mishlim lifnei iver. And again, that's more complicated. We won't be getting into that tonight. Then in Siv Beis, the Mechaber says, kol hanosein b'ribis nechasav mismotetin. It's not going to help you. You think it's going to help you. You're going to make an extra buck. No, your assets will end up being depleted. Uke'ilu, very strong language in the Shulchan Aruch, also coming from the Gemara, as you remember. Ke'ilu kofar b'yitzias mitzrayim uvelokei Yisrael. This is a very rare thing, to say that an Isser, presumably in the realm of Dinei Mamonos, a person who transgresses it is over in being kofar b'yitzias Mitzrayim, and as if you're in kofar b'elokei Yisrael. And again, we could explain why that is true, but certainly we see that it's a severe Isser, and it's an Isser which we are constantly coming into, whether you are in professions which deal with lending and borrowing. Everyone in a personal level, very way our economy works right now, it's very rare that anyone goes his whole life without borrowing a significant, either for a mortgage, whatever it might be. There's always borrowing and lending going on. So it's important, since it's such a severe thing, it's important to understand how one appropriately gets around these Yisurim. Now, one thing I would like to point out, aside from the fact that we will be spending most of the night discussing why this is legitimate in the halachic realm, that we're not getting around anything, but we're using halachic principles which are already in place to circumnavigate the area, even al pi hashkafa, there's this question, and people could also ask. And even if you figure out a way to get around it, there's a reason that the Torah asked the iser of ribbis. The Torah prohibited a person from taking interest. So you found out a way legally al pi din to take ribbis, to take interest. But obviously the Torah didn't want us to do it. So what are we doing? What do we think we're smarter than the Torah? This is exactly what the Rabbanu Shlomo didn't want. So I think for that, perhaps what I'm about to say is somewhat controversial, but I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think it's a very important distinction when people are discussing this area of this gray area of when we try to look for out loopholes, so to speak, and when we don't. And I think that is, we have to understand what is, and not based on our understanding, based on Chazal and based on the Rishonim and the Gedolei Achronim from all the previous generations, what is the Torah trying to accomplish? Now, there are many different scenarios when a person borrows and lends money. You could think of a scenario that the Torah describes, and that's the scenario of a poor person who's destitute. He has nowhere to turn to. He doesn't want to take tzedakah, or he can't find tzedakah, so he's coming to you, please just let me borrow some money, and I'll pay it back. That's one scenario. Then I could think of another scenario where you have a guy who owns 5 buildings in New York City. There's a great deal. He wants to buy a 6th building. He doesn't have the capital right now, liquid, to buy it. So he comes to you, could I have a halva? Now, obviously, the two situations are very different. Yet, in halacha's perspective, they're both loans. So it makes a lot of sense to us that in the case of the first case, the Torah says, your brother, even though legally and al pi yashrus, it makes sense. You want my money, you want a loan, so go out into the world. It costs money to give money, so you should have to pay. We have to treat other Jews like they're our siblings. Just like you wouldn't give your sibling a loan with interest, you'd say, pay me back when you can, if you could afford it. So we're expected to do the same thing to all of Klal Yisrael. But when we're talking about in the realm of commerce, we're talking about in the realm of business, so then it makes a lot of sense for Chazal and the Poskim to come up with an approach. Obviously, this person is not destitute. He's a multimillionaire. So he needs to buy his 6th building. He doesn't have liquid right now, and I'm going to help him. But I shouldn't be able to get the regular interest on that regular loan. Why should I be different than anyone else? This is not taking advantage of a destitute person. The whole context is different. Now, of course, we would not matter it on that alone. We don't do that. We don't just give the reasons for psukim and isurim and matzir based on that. But in terms of the hashkafa of why we are allowed in this situation, why the minhag of Klal Yisrael has been to look for appropriate ways to circumnavigate it, I think is based on this. And I would argue that in a case of where it's the Torah's discussion, the case of where a destitute person comes to you, you shouldn't assign a heteriska. I think then it would be al pi hashkafa, even though it would be mutter, heteriska is a heteriska, al pi hashkafa, I think it would be inappropriate. The Torah tells us you're not supposed to take advantage of a person like this. So you figured out a way to do it. Obviously, the Torah doesn't want to do it. So I think that is an important point, and I think we will even see that being played out in the postgame if you have your antennas up for such a concept. But again, I can't prove what I just said. It could be that some will accuse that me because of what he said.
So we got into it today with like the first thing was that the only country in the sense you might have been in the but I don't know where.
Okay, let's see. We'll try to go through the sources. That was just as an introduction why I think it's important. And if we come from it with that perspective, I think we'll have appreciation for things that otherwise we would overlook. So the issur of ribbis, just to put the background in place, as we just described, is a very, very serious issur. And it's something which you are over, as the Chazal tell us, a person could be over as many as 6 lavin every time he's involved in a case of ribbis. And it's basically taking interest. The case of ribbis on a deraisa level is ribbis ketutza, where from the onset of the negotiations, we sit down and say, I want to borrow $100. I'm going to pay you for a month. I'm going to pay you back in a month $120 for interest. That's the regular case. Ribbis deraisa l'chol hadeh. Now, the question is there any way to do a similar type of loan where I'm actually guaranteed to get my principal back and some revach, some profit, in a mutter way? And this, in fact, is the question posed to the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen wrote a tshuva, which really was the laid out the blueprint for the modern day and for the heter iska, which would be used. Chulas HaDeshen, again, one of the later Rishonim, laid the groundwork for a lot of halacha in Ashkenaz. Based many of the Piskei of the Ramah are based on Chuvas of the Chulas HaDeshen. He had a Talmud, the Maram Mintz. We're talking about 1390 he was born, so we're talking about the late 14th century, and most of his life was the 15th century. He was the Rav most of his life. He was a Gadol Dor, but in Amsterdam himself. And he had a Talmud, the Maram Mintz. The Maram Mintz is one of the Gedolei Poskim of the Rishonim for Ashkenaz. So that entire world really stands.